Scientists know many facts, but science is a process of interpreting facts, a human enterprise swayed by fad, fashion, and politics, much as music and movie making are. So today, instead of film criticism, we've got science criticism. Our science critic is NPR correspondent Dan Charles.
Helping strangers may be a moral virtue, but for some scientists, it's a vexing problem. Rick Riolo, a researcher from the University of Michigan, says altruism and cooperation don't seem consistent with the Darwinist vision of life shaped by competition, with only the fittest surviving.
The question is, why would any creature ever cooperate with another creature, since their fitness will be better if they don't?
Scientists have come up with a variety of explanations. A gene for devotion to one's children, for instance, might not help you survive, but it would help your children, who also carry that gene. And it might be worthwhile to help people who are likely to help you in return. Rick Riolo and his colleagues in Michigan announced a new theory this week. A generosity gene might be a helpful thing, they said, if people are inclined to help people who are like them in some way, in appearance, for instance, or language. They created a computer simulation of their theory. In this simulation, when a group of similar individuals start helping each other, the individuals in that group tend to prosper.
They reproduce, and the ones who have more total payoff have more offspring.
Those offspring carrying their generosity genes begin to take over. As the generations go by in this model, they also become more tolerant. They'll give benefits to an individual who is less and less like them. But as the circle of cooperation widens, freeloaders emerge who only take but don't also give. That causes a collapse in cooperation until it emerges again within small, tight-knit groups that are intolerant of outsiders. Then the cycle repeats itself. Makes sense, you might be saying. We've seen that happen, so that's what's going on. Well, actually it isn't, says John Dupree, who teaches the philosophy of science at Exeter University in the United Kingdom. What's really going on is a scientific fashion, he says, trying to apply the principles of evolution in a realm where they don't belong.
It's actually absurd to suppose that you can model human behavior or human nature on the basis of two or three causal factors.
If you think about it, human societies that are biologically identical behave very differently, so it's hard to see how biology can account for such differences. Now, to be fair, Riolo's computer program doesn't necessarily describe a biological process of survival of the fittest at all. What's going on in his model could be a cultural phenomenon. Generous communities would grow because outsiders learn from their example and adopt their generous ways. But Riolo and his colleagues didn't describe this cultural interpretation in their paper. The biological interpretation, connecting human behavior to biology and Darwin, probably seemed more spectacular. And spectacular ideas, Dupree says, are more likely to find a place in leading scientific journals.
It's very appealing for public consumption.
The journal Nature provided another example of sexy research this week, a report about a so-called DNA computer. Such a computer, if it really existed, would use a different kind of logic. Instead of routing electrons through tiny on-off switches on silicon chips, it would compute an answer by cutting and splicing billions of snippets of DNA. And this week, a group of researchers in Israel announced that a thimbleful of enzymes and DNA working all by itself had solved a simple problem. Yet DNA computers, at least in the conventional sense of a computer, probably won't ever be much use to anybody. They've attracted enormous attention, though, mainly because, in theory, they link two apparently magical yet previously unrelated realms, DNA and computers. And in describing them, one can recite mind-boggling statistics, how trillions of DNA computers could fit in a test tube, each performing billions of operations each second. Then, just when all of science seemed overhyped and overburdened with ideological freight this week, along came a report, also in Nature, of bad blue jays that expect the worst from others. Scientists in Cambridge, England, reported that blue jays who steal from other birds are more careful about hiding their food. Blue jays with no criminal past don't seem to mind if another bird sees where their possessions are hidden. As they say, it takes one to know one. Dan Charles, NPR News, Washington.